Jesus goes back to his hometown where he had been brought up in Luke chapter 4, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. We want to welcome you to the broadcast. We're glad that you've joined us, and we hope that you have your Bible ready so that you can follow along with us today. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and here's where the Bible says, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." So let's get the setting here. Jesus is going back now to his hometown of Nazareth. These people knew Mary and Joseph. They knew the brothers and the sisters of Jesus. And they knew that Jesus was the son of Mary and Joseph. He goes into a synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, a synagogue was a meeting place. It was a meeting house. It was somewhat like our church buildings today. These Jews would gather in these synagogues and they would have a worship service. They would have the reading of the Bible. They would have a short lesson after that or a lengthy lesson after that. They would have some prayers. They had different parts of their service and they had different men to arrange and organize the different facets of that worship service. They had a man called the ruler of the synagogue, and they also had a man that we find here who is called the minister or the attendant. Now, this minister's job was to keep up with the Bible books. And when it says that the book was brought to him and he opened the book, it's not a book like you and I have today. It's not a book with a spine in it and that's bound together. The Bible here, in using the word book, is talking about a scroll. And so this minister would keep up with those Old Testament books that were written on scrolls. So he brings Jesus this scroll, and it happens to be a scroll of the book of Isaiah. Jesus unrolls that scroll, and he begins reading in what we call Isaiah chapter 61. Now that's what you find in verses 18 and 19. So that's the setting. Jesus is in his hometown. He is with fellow Jews. He's with people that were brought up in the same community that he was, and he begins to read the Bible to these people. After he reads that section, the Bible says that he sat down and everybody was watching him. Their eyes were glued upon Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus spoke in the Bible, whether people agreed with him or not, he got their attention. And that is exactly what's taking place right here. And if that got their attention, the reading of the scriptures, what he's about to say is going to get their attention even more. The Bible says in verse 21, "And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" Now Jesus, in an indirect way there, is telling these people, this Old Testament prophecy is being fulfilled in me. In an indirect way, he's saying, I'm the one. He didn't come right out and say, I'm the Christ, I'm the Messiah, but he's saying these Old Testament prophecies are being fulfilled in me, in my life, and in my teaching. So in your very presence today, Jesus says, the scripture is being fulfilled right in front of your eyes. The Bible says in verse 22, "And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." So they were in awe. They were impressed. But at the same time, there were people among them that began to look in the wrong direction. Instead of saying to themselves, well, maybe he is the one. Instead of saying to themselves, this may be more than just an ordinary man. This man who grew up in our neighborhood may be the Messiah. They began to go back to his childhood and his upbringing, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? In other words, that's about all that they can see at this point. they know that this is Joseph's boy, that he is the son of some man that lived among them. They don't see any more than that at this time, and they're not ready to accept that either. That's the sad thing about this story, as we're going to see. So after they make that comment, "Is not this Joseph's son?" then Jesus begins to say even more to them. Now, right now at this point, what I want to do is to interject something here from Mark's account of the same event. You see, when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you put all those accounts together, then you really get a complete picture as to what took place. In Mark chapter 6, Mark records this very event that we're reading about in Luke chapter 4. And it's interesting in Mark's account that when Jesus stands up to read and these people hear his teaching, that they are astonished, the Bible says, in Mark chapter 6, verse 2, that the people there said, "What wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. So they're not welcoming Jesus here. They're not proud of him. They're not glad for him, and they don't even believe that the scriptures are being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, these are people in his hometown here. They're offended at him. And that's when Jesus says these words in Mark chapter 6, verse 4, that we're going to see also in Luke chapter 4, that is, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house." The Bible says then in Mark chapter 6, verse 6, one of the few times that the Bible says that Jesus marveled, that he was in awe, that he was shocked. In Mark chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says, "And he marveled because of their unbelief." Now, we're going to see that unbelief demonstrated here in Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. After they said, "Well, this is Joseph's son here," here is Jesus' response. He said in Luke chapter 4, verse 23, "You will surely say unto me this proverb." In other words, this saying that was circulating then, "Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." So they were laying down a challenge to Jesus. If you're really the one, if you can really do all those miracles, then you need to do some of those things here. Well, Mark's account shows us that he did heal some sick people there, and he did some miracles, but that wasn't enough. Jesus says in verse 24, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." Now remember, these people at this point are offended at him. They don't accept what he says. They just see him as somebody that grew up there, but they don't believe that he's anything special at all. So the Bible tells us in verse 25 that Jesus says this, "But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias," that is Elijah, "when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them," that is to none of those people of Israel, "was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." And then in verse 27 he says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus," that is Elijah, "the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." The Bible says in verse 28, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." They're angry. They are furious at what Jesus said. Now, what is it that Jesus said in verses 25 through 27 that made these people so mad? Well, it's the comparison that he makes between the people in Israel during the time of these prophets and these Gentiles. That's the key. You see, this is like waving a red flag before these Israelite people because they despise these Gentiles. And Jesus said, if you go back and read your own history, if you go back and look at the time of the prophets, you're going to find that God did things for some of these Gentiles that he didn't do for the Jews because the Jews were so rebellious. In verse 25 and 26, he talks about the time of Elijah. And he said there was a great drought. There were people that were starving. There were people that were hungry in Israel. But the Bible says that Elijah was not sent to any of them. He was sent to a woman of Sidon. Now that was a city that was notorious for its evil and for its greed. And yet Elijah was sent there because there was a widow woman there that needed help. And Elijah helped her. You read about that in 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, why was Elijah not sent to the Israelite people during that time? Because they were so steeped in idolatry. Because they were so wicked and so sinful, that's why he was sent to this woman in Sarepta, a city of Sidon. And the same thing is true in verse 27. The Bible says that there were all kinds of lepers in the nation of Israel during the time of Elijah. But who did he go and heal? It was Naaman, the man of Syria. That's a Gentile nation. These Jews that heard this, I'm talking about the Jews in Nazareth who were in that synagogue that day, were furious when they heard that, because Jesus is saying that God helped those Gentiles out, but he wouldn't help those Jews then, and they just could not stomach that. They were infuriated with him. And the Bible says in verse 29 that they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They were going to kill him. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. So here is an example early on in Jesus' ministry where his preaching caused people to be so upset with him that they wanted to kill him. And that continued to grow, of course, and people tried to kill him after this, and finally they did when he died on the cross. But the amazing thing about this, as it begins here in Luke chapter 4, is that Jesus is in his own hometown. And they could not get out of their minds that this was some little boy that grew up over there, and now all of a sudden, he is this preacher who is working these miracles, and he's the Messiah. All they could see was the earthly side of Jesus, and they had that prejudice, they had that bias, and they were unable to accept the truth that he was the Son of God, even though he was in their midst, and he had been there all along growing up. What a sad thing that is. And how do you think those people are going to feel on the day of judgment? You know, these very people that we're reading about here in Luke chapter 4 are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ on the day of judgment. And how are they going to react when they stand before the very one that they rejected on this day? What a tragedy that is, and it doesn't have to be that way with you and me. We can believe and obey the words of Christ, and that's what I want to exhort us all to do this very day. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John chapter 14, verse 15. Well, thank you for tuning in today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we want to wish you a great rest of the day.